Our lesson today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 79. But actually, it's from the whole chapter of Luke. But hear God's word for these final verses. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He came and set his people free. He set the power of salvation in the center of our lives and in the very house of David, his servant, just as he promised long ago through the preaching of his holy prophets. Deliverance from our enemies and every hateful hand. Mercy to our fathers as he remembers to do what he said he'd do. What he swore to our father Abraham, a clean rescue from the enemy camp. So we can worship him without a care in the world, made holy before him as long as we live. And you, my child, prophet of the highest, will go ahead of the master to prepare his ways, present the offer of salvation to his people, the forgiveness of their sins through the heartfelt mercies of our God. God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in the darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death, then showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace. And that child, he grew up healthy and spirited, and he lived out in the desert until the day he made his prophetic debut in Israel." May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. When you think about Christmas, does the name Zechariah typically come to mind? Does it? I kind of doubt it. I mean, when we think about Christmas and we think about people around Christmas, we think, of course, of Mary, we think of Joseph, we think of the shepherds and the wise men, we think of an innkeeper, we think of so many different people. Even John the Baptist and Mary's cousin Elizabeth, but we probably don't think of Zechariah. In fact, there are probably many of you who are wondering, okay, now who was Zechariah again? Well, we find out more about Zechariah in this chapter. And Zechariah is one of those many people in the scriptures who makes an important contribution, but who is maybe not as memorable as some others. Zechariah was the husband of Elizabeth, who was cousin to Mary. And Zechariah was also a priest. And as this story begins, he is going to serve at the temple. And it's an incredible day for him because on this particular day, this only happens once in a lifetime, on this particular day, it is his turn to enter the sanctuary of God and to burn incense, which burns away the sins. And the congregation are all waiting outside. And so he goes inside and he says his prayers. And who does he see there but the angel Gabriel? Yes, the same one that we hear about all the time that spoke to Mary. But we don't always hear or remember that Gabriel also spoke to Zechariah. So Zechariah is there and he's praying. And this angel appears just to the right of the altar of incense. And as you can imagine, Zechariah is totally paralyzed in fear. But the angel reassures him and he tells him, "Don't fear, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." And what has that prayer been? He and Elizabeth, like another couple years ahead of them, have been praying for many years for a child. Here they are, they're in old age, and they're still praying, but of course at this point not without a lot of hope. But the angel says, "Your prayer has been heard, and Elizabeth, your wife, will bear you a son. And you're to name him John. And you're going to leap like a gazelle for joy. And not only you, but many will delight in his birth, and he'll achieve great stature with God. Wow. And maybe you think that that's what Zechariah would say. Wow. Thank you. But instead his reaction is, do you expect me to believe this? He says, I'm an old man. My wife is an old woman. And the angel says, I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. But because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true and on God's time. Okay, so here he is, a priest. He's been a priest for many, many years. One would assume that he would be wise, given that he's an older gentleman. One would assume that he would have deep faith in God's ability to do anything, being that he's a priest and being he's of that age. But instead, his reaction is, that's not going to happen. I'm an old man. Even though there was previously an old man and an old woman who had a baby, he's still in doubt. And God's action is to silence him. To silence him. Give him some time to think instead of speak. And so he returns, probably with a degree of embarrassment to the congregation. He can do nothing but use sign language to explain. And they are in awe because they get it. They realize that something has happened in that space. Something has happened to him, and God has been in it. And now they're excited to find out what it is. Well, as the story continues, we know that Elizabeth did conceive. And interestingly enough, she didn't hang out with a family, but she went to be by herself for a period of 5 months. Time to contemplate what God was doing in her. Time to meditate on this new change in her life, this new fresh beginning. And then she returns, and at 6 months, when Mary has conceived, she comes to visit, and they celebrate what God is doing in their lives. Things that are totally unexpected and not under ideal circumstances, mind you. Because as we know, Mary's situation is not easy. She's engaged, but not married. But somehow, they both have faith. They both know in their hearts that God is doing something amazing. And that though they may not have perfect understanding of how it will happen, or even why, that is something to be joyful about. How many of us, in similar circumstances, would be rejoicing? How many of us instead would be worried? Would be thinking of 50 million reasons why, oh no, this is a scary thing. This may not be a good thing. How many of us would be able to be at peace with God's working in our lives? This is a reminder to each of us. And this week, as is all the weeks of Advent, even though we're looking back at the past, stories that we've heard over and over in many cases, God is seeking to still do something new in our hearts and in our minds. And he's seeking to remind us that each of us are part of a heritage. These are not foreigners out in a foreign world, though they may seem to be. They're our ancestors. They're our ancestors in a very special way. And as we see Zechariah and his little role in this, we see that he went through that 9-month period, and then he comes out to speak, or perhaps even to sing, in a most beautiful way after his son is born. It's the 8th day, and the neighbors and friends have all come for his traditional circumcision of this tiny baby. They're all there to celebrate with him. And Elizabeth tells them that his name will be John. And they're totally confused because, why are you naming this baby John? That's not a family name. They're assuming that it's going to be named after his father. But no, John. So they look to Zechariah, wondering if there isn't something going on. And Zechariah pulls out a tablet, and not to be confused with an iPad, mind you, but he pulls out a tablet of that time, and he notes that, yes, the name is to be John. He no sooner does that than he gets his voice back. And he is able to not only speak, but to prophesy in these beautiful words about what is to come. And as he looks at this beautiful baby, his son, who he's waited for so long, he knows in his heart that God is going to do something amazing with this son. Not easy, but amazing. And that this child's life will be touching lives all around him, beyond him, in ways that they can't even comprehend or anticipate, but they know that it will happen. They know. And the lesson within is that with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. It does not mean that it won't be without hardship. It does not mean that God is going to take away all the challenges in our lives, all the difficulties, all the struggles, because those too have their place in our lives. The silencing of Zechariah was for a purpose. It was to bring him to a deeper, stronger place in his relationship with God. The things that Mary went through, the things that Elizabeth went through, the things that John the Baptist, who we call him now, went through in his life, all were for a purpose. Each of us has a purpose as well. Our purpose may not be written in this particular Bible document, but our lives are being written, in fact, are already written in the book of life. And each one of us has this unique purpose. And as we make the choices in our life, we have the unique opportunity, as God calls us, to say yes and to be part of the legacy, or to fearfully say no. We also have the hope that even when we say that fearful no, that as with Zechariah, God doesn't give up on us. He continues to find new ways to help us in our relationship with God, to help us to go deeper, to help us to grow in that faith. You are part of this legacy. God has been preparing and will continue to prepare. He's making a way for each of us in this world, and he's making a way for our children and our children's children and for the future generations that go ahead. All of it part of a perfect plan. We may not always know what the plan is or how the outcome will turn out, but this is a reminder for each of us during this season that though we celebrate and we enjoy all the festivities, all the customs, the traditions, the feasts, the time with family, that God doesn't want us to forget the deeper truth and the deeper purpose of the season. God is preparing the way for you, just as he has for every generation before. He is doing something wonderful, and he wants you to be part of it. And we can rejoice in that. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you thanking you for all the gifts you give us, all those who came before us, all that we can learn from them, for their courage, for their faithfulness. And we pray that you would give us courage and faithfulness as well, Lord, and that as you prepare our way, that we will say yes to your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.